If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that one of my mantras is that slow, steady growth is how strong businesses are built. Well, they are also built with intentionality, connectivity, and care, which today's guest is a wonderful example of. Amy Fraser is an author, illustrator, and the founder of Keller Design Co., where she strives to empower you to make modern memories through craft. Amy's stationery, embroidery kits, and artful gifts help you share stories, make connections, and communicate with simple, honest messages. Keller helps customers connect with those they love and find connections to their own creativity. On today's episode, Amy is sharing how 20 years in the corporate world designing products for brands like Nike, Old Navy, Starbucks, and Target, those experiences truly helped shape how she runs Keller Design Co. Amy candidly discusses how personal loss and seasons of overwhelm caused her to push pause and take better care of herself. And she talks about how community, connection, and continuing to put in the work motivated her to keep going. Today's episode is brought to you by our Proof Your Product Resource Library, where we house all of my free workshops in one place. This includes my Delegating Masterclass, How to Know if Wholesale's Right for You class, my Booth Blueprint class for anyone exhibiting at shows, and more. And I've got some new things that we're going to be adding soon. To get instant access to this rich resource library, head to proof2product.com/resources. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Amy, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I am thrilled to have you. And I need to take this moment at the front end of this episode to say thank you to Amy, because you have been such a shining light in our community in the way that you pour into others, in the way you support Kelly and myself and everyone in our community. Like, I just want you to know how incredible you are, and I want the world to know how incredible you are. And I'm so grateful for all that you pour into others, including myself and our community. You are really just a shining light. So thank you for doing that and then for coming today too.
That's so sweet. It's just, I don't know, it's so easy to give back in that community and contribute. And I don't know. Thank you.
Well, you are above and beyond. And I really, truly hope you know how much you're appreciated and loved within our world. So I'm getting emotional. Okay. We have so much good. I know. I'm like, we just started. Okay. You have such an incredible, rich background in design and product development. Can you share your backstory with us and how all of that experience led you to starting Keller Design Co.?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I guess it kind of started, well, I love this quote from Steve Jobs. I'll just kind of read it real quick. And this is kind of how I think about my background in history. It says, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking back. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. So I kind of think about my history and, you know, even going back to my childhood, living with my grandmother. She came to live with my family after my grandfather passed away when I was pretty young, and she just was part of our daily life, and we always crafted together, and she, you know, helped, taught me how to like cook, and just was part of our life, like every single day. You know, and I was always into art and sports through grade school and high school. I was like a 3 varsity sport athlete and studied art in college and was always into sports and extracurricular kind of activities. My first job out of college, I worked for a company called Galerie au Chocolat, and it was a a gift and candy company. We combined gifts like ceramic mugs and sequin boxes and plastic things and toy containers with candy. So we would, I was the first illustrator that they had hired. It was an established company, like several multi-million dollar, you know, revenue. So I was the first illustrator that they hired and started traveling to visit our factories and vet new factories and make sure that, you know, we wanted to work with them and their safety codes were up to spec and, you know, treated their workers in a, you know, a good way. This was 1995, by the way. So I was traveling to China and different countries probably four times a year for like 4 or 5 years. Developing product, working with factories, you know, I had no idea at that time that I even wanted to start my own company. I learned so much about building products from that company. It was a small company, had a lot of autonomy. When I first interviewed, one of the questions was like, how are you with math? Like, I just graduated from art school. So, you know, I know how to, you know, do math and add, subtract, multiply, divide. But I was pricing products like, you know, how much is the ribbon that goes on the bag for the candy? How much is the candy? How many ounces of candy do we put into this container? We are working with stuffed animals and import and export and filling a 40-foot container. How many boxes of stuffed animals will fit into that container? So I learned so much from that company. I worked there for 6 years. And then I went to New York to work for Old Navy, designing kids' accessories and shoes. And again, traveling to different countries to source products. We also did a lot with manufacturing in the United States for both of those companies. But again, just building on my knowledge base. Again, I still didn't really know that I wanted to have my own company, but I always wanted to be an illustrator. I am an illustrator. I always have been. So that's what I studied in college. And I always brought that to my jobs. Like, how can I infuse, you know, like the touch of the hand and, you know, that things look like someone actually made them. It's not like off the shelf from a factory somewhere in China. It's like someone thought about this and, you know, put their heart and soul into it, even back then. So I worked for Old Navy for, I think I was there 3 years in New York at their offices from 2001 to 2004. I moved right after 9/11. That's when I started volunteering to help with families affected by 9/11, you know, loss, and working with New York Cares and the Salvation Army to help out serving food to firefighters and first responders. So I think that was when I first started to like give back a little bit more, which I bring to my company now with Keller and Friends. And I got burned out in New York. It was just, it's such a quick pace. And, you know, we were working till midnight, 1 o'clock, like constantly, and just back the next day. And I think at some, even in college and a couple of the early companies I worked at, I developed some quote unquote bad habits, like just working way too much. You know, self-care wasn't even a thought, you know, taking breaks. And so just, I think a lot of those habits that I'm still fighting to this day, like I developed those working at some of those companies because it was fun. You know, I'm like 25 years old, 30 years old, traveling around the world, meeting people and companies and developing new products and learning all these things. And, you know, meeting with buyers from Target and working on products for Starbucks and Macy's and just all these really cool companies. So I got burned out in New York. So then I moved to Portland in 2004 to work for Nike. I was a sock designer and developer for 11 years. Well, I didn't a lot of the development for Nike. We had teams that did a lot of that. So I got to focus on design more. Some of the other companies I worked at, I was designing and developing. So I think that's why I had such an intimate relationship with some of the factories and our agents. So I was able to learn a little bit more behind the scenes. Whereas at Nike, you know, we got to focus on design work.
Yeah.
And we had teams that would, you know, communicate with the factories. And but when I started working at Nike, we did a lot of consumer research. So we got to meet with athletes from high school level, college level, professional level, to really take those insights that we are learning from the athletes and put it into the product, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. I'm over here shaking my head just because I'm thinking about the fact that, well, I've been listening intently to your story here, and I'm thinking about the fact that you were hired as an illustrator for the chocolate company, yet you were intimately involved in the sourcing, the crunching the production costs, the, like, you were doing a lot more than illustrating is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, even with Old Navy, I love how you were talking about infusing the personal touch that a human was involved in creating this product. It's, this was essentially like a 20-year masterclass in running a product-based business. And I'm curious how, I mean, I think your quote says it all that you said at the beginning of, like, when we look back, we see how all the different things are connected. But, and maybe this is an obvious question, do you feel like all these experiences wrapped together better prepared you for starting your own business?
Definitely. I mean, and I'm not saying all these, that I've done all these things and I've traveled the world and I've met with athletes. I'm not saying that to be like, oh, you know, look at me. It's more like,
no.
I have this experience and it's still hard. Like, you know, it's still hard to run my own business and, you know, develop products and find sources. And, you know, I don't have those teams helping me out, you know, in my business, but I've got, you know, people from labs and other groups and friends that I have masterminds with guiding me along the way. So I definitely think that all that experience definitely helps guide me and, the kind of business that I want to have with Keller Design Co. and also the kind of business that I don't want to have, you know, things I've learned along the way, mistakes I've made, mistakes I've seen people in those businesses make, the way people treat each other kindly or not so kindly.
Yeah.
So I think all of that, the design, the development, the travel, the, you know, learning and experience definitely is guiding me along the way now.
It sounds like it's not only shaped the structure of the business you want to have and the values of the business that you want to have, but also it does really lean into the products that you create, because your products are very uplifting. They're very connective. They're very much about supporting one another, and it really draws people in. So at what point did you say, okay, this is something that I really want to make a go at? I want to have a product-based business and I want to make this a reality.
I left Nike in 2015 and I took a year off and worked on, at the time it was Keller, but I was also doing illustration work and I was making like handmade cards, collaging with my photos and fabric. And that's actually when I started sewing and learning how to embroider. I mean, I didn't really start that until 2016, and people really liked my cards. And I, you know, I organized a pop-up shop in Portland for the holidays. I think I had 15 vendors that I had recruited. So that was the beginning of Keller. And I had designed like a crude little logo based on my grandmother's handwriting, because Keller is German for basement. And when she lived with us, we always went into the basement and did our work. So I had kind of like designed my own logo. I wasn't super happy with it because I'm not a graphic designer. I'm more of an illustrator. So that was the beginning of Keller, and I didn't really know what to do with it. And then I started taking some illustration classes called Make Art That Sells with Lila Rogers. She's an illustration agent. Yeah. And I met a group of women in Portland, and we started meeting up every month for a couple of years, we did that consistently. And Erwin of Little Gold Fox was one of those friends. And she always talked to me about, you know, we talked about products, and she just has this amazing product line. And I remember one time she said to me, well, you know, you could do illustration and, you know, license that or sell it, or you could, you know, design products and sell those like retail and wholesale and like sell them thousands of times. I was like, yeah. So I think that kind of planted the seed really of me wanting to get into the stationery and gift business and wholesale. And that was, I don't remember what year that was. You know, time in the past couple of years is just...
Oh, it's turned into warp speed. I know. It's like everything's kind of muddy. Well, I know that you attended paper camp in February 2020. That was right before the pandemic started. Yep. You know, at that point, I remember having a conversation with you and you were like, I'm really still new to this. And I kept thinking to myself, you say you're new to this, but I know you've done these major licensing deals. You've worked with these major licensing brands. Yeah. Like, I think it's more like it. And I remember us kind of having a conversation of, I think it's more about you figuring out what you want and then just going after it. But what were your intentions and goals for joining us at Paper Camp? At that point, did you know kind of what you wanted, or was it still information?
I think it was still in formation. I knew that I wanted to get into wholesale. I knew what wholesale was. I think, you know, I wanted to learn more tools and have more resources to do that. And actually, when we were at paper camp, I was in the middle of working on my book, Empowered Embroidery. I had met an editor at a licensing trade show in 2018 and had pitched a couple of book ideas, and I signed the contract late 2019. So even like during paper camp, I was like, I would get up early, go to the gym, go to paper camp, come back to my hotel, work on like sketches and projects. I wish I would have been a little more focused on just like enjoying that experience. But yeah, I think I was looking for, you know, to a community of like-minded people. I wanted to also get feedback on whether to go down the route of Keller Design Co. or using my name as my brand, Amy L. Frazier, because I have design and illustration as my actual, my company name. And I've met with Katie from The Good Twin. She was my, I had one-on-one with her, and she's like, encouraged me to go with Keller. So I went with Keller. I had already had the website. So I think it just helped me like form it even more and get ideas about what I need to do next. But all of 2020, I was really working on my book.
Yeah. Cause your book came out in 2021, right? Was it March?
Yeah. My book came out, March of 2020, and it was actually, I can't remember if it was 3 days before and 3 days after my dad passed away.
I'm sorry, Amy.
My book birthday was early March, and then I got word that my dad passed away within days of that launch. He got COVID, so that was, you know, I took some time to go home and be with my family. But you know, I wasn't really close with my dad, so it was difficult in a way that, you know, I didn't get to say goodbye to him. You know, I have that grief that's still there.
Yeah.
But I think what I can do with Keller to kind of share those experiences, I've been brainstorming a collection kind of inspired by Janine from Quotations. You know, she has a very important line that
Janine does have a very important line that helps people overcome grief and also says the things that we have a hard time articulating. Right.
Yeah. So I've been inspired by her experiences to create a collection to help people through grief. I'm still working on it. It's not quite ready yet. It's a difficult one to work through, but that's kind of what I'm working on now, is some new collections to bring my experiences to other people. And anyway, so my book came out in March of 2021. To get back to
I don't want to dismiss what you're feeling here. Yeah. I think it's important to acknowledge this and the pain that you experienced. And also, you know, at that time in your life, you were navigating living through the pandemic as a human. You were navigating being an author, launching a book to the world that you had spent years creating. You lost your father. You were also building products and creating, you know, Keller. And that's an awful lot of exciting things, but also hard things and also very sad. Like, there's a lot of emotion behind all of that. How did your community of colleagues and everyone around you help support you kind of through that? Did you feel supported through that?
I definitely did. I think it's something that I didn't, you know, because I feel like a lot of my paper people friends are, you know, we're all pretty much virtual. I've got, you know, local friends, Erwin and some other friends. I didn't talk about it a ton. You know, I'm kind of a private person in that respect, but I definitely felt supported, you know, through the labs community.
Well, and that wasn't, that wasn't me asking like, how are we supporting you? I just mean like, I think when you're going through so many different things at the same time like that, and also when we're not able to really leave our house very much, you know, like it's a challenge. And so hopefully you had local support of people you could see and spend time with. And then also, I know it's such a weird thing that all of us have such strong friendships virtually that, and yet we've, some of them you've probably never met in person yet, but I'm glad you had some of that support, but like, it's hard. How do you pick up the pieces from there a little bit? Or how do you kind of start to gain momentum after something like that?
Yeah, I think just taking time. You know, I started keeping a journal, not a daily journal, but just a way to like express my feelings. And, you know, I really want to be able to not just, you know, make money from products, but be able to channel my feelings and thoughts and ideas into products that maybe can help other people reach out to their friends and family when they are going through something that's difficult. I think that's the great thing about having your own company is being able to channel those feelings and ideas to help other people.
Absolutely.
So I hope that's something. It's not in my, you know, product collection yet, but I'm hoping through Keller that I'll, you know, can help other people make connections. Also, I've got two brothers too, so, you know, being able to talk to them and be on them. Matthew, my partner, is a nurse practitioner, and all through like 2020, 2021, he was going to work every day, seeing patients. So there was, you know, like everybody else, there was a lot going on in those couple of years, a lot of loss for people. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing that I've learned through that experience, those experiences, is just, you know, to lean on your friends, whether they're in real life or virtual, or, you know, maybe someday you'll meet those virtual friends at a trade show or, you know, traveling somewhere.
I mean, Amy, when I think of you, the one word that comes to mind is connectivity. You are incredible at introducing people to other people that may have things in common or that may be able to benefit each other. You are a connector. And I know that you have leveraged Keller and the brand to also lift up other artists. Do you want to talk to me about Keller and Friends and what you're doing there?
Yeah, Keller and Friends, it's a collaboration between myself and my friends. And some of those friends I may have worked with at Old Navy or Nike, or I've met them virtually through Instagram or other groups. And the goal with Keller and Friends is to share each friend's unique voice and perspective with the world through words and images. So my friend Amiko Rainbow, she's an incredible illustrator and artist. And we met, I think we were both in like a same virtual workshop at one point, and we were in another group and we connected. And as I was forming Keller, I was like, I really want to work with other friends just to bring different perspectives to the world through my through products. And I work really closely with the people that I collaborate with. They might be art, like Amiko is an artist. My friend Sarah, I worked with her at Old Navy. We collaborate on some like Hanukkah items, and she's a therapist now. So oh, wow. We have some other ideas of things that we want to bring to life through Keller. And I pay all the artists and collaborators. I compensate them. And I also make a donation to a charity of their choice. So I love having Keller and friends. So I'll backtrack a little bit, getting to my first trade show. I wanted to bring so many things to life, and it just took a lot to get there. And I collaborated with a couple people, and I kind of have put it on pause a little bit. I still got the products in the collections, but I haven't, maybe we can talk about this later, but I haven't brought any more products to life through Keller and Friends. I just, I'm trying to settle in to where my business is right now.
No, well, it's a process, right? Yeah. You have ideas and things you want to bring to life, but you also have these relationships, and you know there's amazing, unique things that you can do with them. So let's shift gears a little bit. Thank you for sharing the hard stuff with us, and thank you for sharing your rich story too. But let's shift gears a little bit. I would love to talk about your experience exhibiting at your first wholesale trade show, because you exhibited at Noted, which was run by the Greeting Card Association, and they did a show in 2022 in person in San Francisco, and that was your first show. So it was almost a full 2 years after coming to Paper Camp, learning everything, creating your business, creating your product line, and you decided to do that. So tell me kind of what was going through your head, like why then? What about that show and that timing made you feel ready to do this?
I think committing to that trade show at that time, I just wanted to bring Keller. It was like my coming out or birthday party for Keller. I had spent the past year backtracking to 2021 in April. I had started working with a designer, my friend Nikki of Ritual Mornings, to help me with my branding. I had a logo that I had designed, but after going to Paper Camp, I just really wanted to commit myself to bringing Keller to life. So I did a couple of business offsites with myself. I went out of town for a couple of days and just really brainstormed what I wanted Keller to be and have a mission, vision, and values. Just tons of post-it notes up on walls. And then I started working with Nikita Cohn on the branding piece of it. And I've just felt so good about where we landed with the messaging, the visuals. I was starting to build my product collections. And I don't know, when I figure out that I just want to do something, I usually commit fairly quickly. Like, I really want to do Noted. And I had attended the first Noted in Brooklyn. I was doing a trade show there, another trade show. And I walked the show. So I had an idea of what Noted was all about. And I had met, you know, some other people through labs that wanted to do it and, you know, kind of form some alliances there. And, you know, we're always sharing ideas. And, you know, I don't know if I was really ready to do that trade show, but I was ready enough. And I think you always say people don't know what you had planned, all the ideas that you were going to do that didn't happen. So I showed up and I was super proud of what I brought there. I may have overcommitted a bit. I got a 10 by 10 booth and it was a lot. It was, you know, if you've never done a trade show before, there's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes that people don't see. You know, they see the beautiful booths and the beautiful products, but all the hours and hours and hours of hard work and, you know, getting your, you know, all your collateral ready and connecting with clients beforehand and retailers and reaching out and, you know, making sure you've got your vinyls or, you know, if you're going to paint your walls and how your display is going to look and your giveaways and, you know,
there's all so many details, right?
Yeah. I think people that, you know, go to trade shows don't really think about that. They just, you know, they see the beautiful booths and it's definitely a journey. And for me, I couldn't have gotten there by myself. You know, I had so much support through the labs groups that we have. My friend Janetta Gonzalez came to help me through the trade show during setup and was there with me during the show. She had a client at the show. She's an illustrator, so she had some products at the show. So, you know, it was fun for both of us to be there together. And
Amy, I want to stop you real quick and just say your booth looked amazing and your products looked amazing. And I really appreciate you being so honest about what goes into exhibiting, because there are so many tiny details to consider. And you just listed off a handful, and yet that was probably a very small fraction of your to-do list in preparing for the show. And, you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, retailers show up to the show and they see the beautiful booths and they think, oh, you know, I don't know what they think actually about how easy or hard it is, but, you know, they're always impressed with what everyone displays. But it's a lot. It's a lot to decide that, yes, okay, I'm ready to commit financially and time-wise and energetically to exhibiting at a show, and then to actually go through all those steps to get there is exhausting as well. I know that it's also exhausting during the show and then after the show as well. So let's talk about during the show. Were you feeling really good about everything, the connections you made, the results, and just all of that?
Yeah, I felt great during the show. I mean, I was exhausted, but when you get there and everything's set up and you just take a step back to appreciate what you've done and what your friends have done to get there. It's like, yeah, I did this.
It's super impressive.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's okay to feel that and be like, I'm really proud of myself. I'm proud of my friends. I'm proud that we're all here doing this. You know, it was the first trade show that I've done in a couple of years, and you kind of forget everything that goes into it.
I agree. Everyone should be incredibly proud, especially when that was the first time a large contingency of our community had been back to exhibiting. We had had some people that had done New York Now and Atlanta and some of the others, but it was a very small group. And I felt like Noted in 2022 was kind of, okay, we're going to do, you know, like there was just a larger contingency. And I agree. Everyone that was there should be proud of the effort and time and just what they did to get there. It's a lot. You know, I know that from my personal experiences, I know that there's always like a letdown, so to speak, after the show. I call it my recalibration period, because before the shows, I'm getting everything ready. I'm in, you know, adrenaline is high. I'm getting everything done. Adrenaline is high during the show when you get to see people in real life and talk about your products and write your orders. And then you come home and the work is still there that needs to be done. You know, the filling the orders, even just cleaning up your studio after you've been gone and things have been. But like, there's a recalibration that has to happen, because we're also segueing back into just day-to-day life and workflow. What was it like for you after Noted?
Yeah, I think after the show, I was on a little bit of a high. I mean, you know, I had written some orders. I'll be honest, you know, almost a year into having Keller, I'm in less than 20 stores, you know, so I just want people to know that, you know, whatever your path is, you know, just keep going. But after Noted, I, you know, I got a couple orders and I was just so excited about that. Like, okay, this is working. So I had driven down from Portland. So on the drive back, I was kind of like decompressing, and I was almost an hour back into Portland, an hour away, and I started falling asleep at the wheel.
Oh my gosh.
It was kind of scary. You know, it was raining and I was just exhausted. I had stopped over in California to stay overnight and then came, you know, slept in a little bit and came the next day. But just, I think everything was like hitting me, you know, just.
Yeah.
Like you said, not the letdown, but just the decompression.
Yeah.
So I pulled over. I was fine. You know, I pulled over and did some jumping jacks and got some caffeine and, you know, got some food, head back to Portland. But when I got back, like you said, getting back into your routine and your life and, you know, the day to day and getting orders out and, you know, reconnecting with buyers, I also had committed to teaching two workshops in Canada at the Canadian Embroidery Guild's 50th anniversary celebration. And I had committed to doing this back in 2019. So they had planned a couple of years ahead of time.
Yeah.
And there was kind of touch and go if it was going to be in person, if we were going to do it virtually. So when I got back to Portland after the Noted show, I had, you know, I was still finishing up lesson plans for that and pulling, you know, people's product kits together. I was teaching embroidery workshops and I just had such a meltdown. It was late one night. I was, you know, trying to finish things up and I just felt such overwhelm. And I was texting with Janetta, my friend Janetta, who was at the show with me. She was basically like, you just have to take care of yourself. You know,
yeah.
You have to, you know, if you can't go, then you just have to let them know. And some other teachers at the conference had backed out as well. The headliner, she and her husband had COVID, so they couldn't go. So, you know, I felt a responsibility to show up there, but also I felt a responsibility to take care of myself.
Yeah.
So I sent him an email. I was like, hey, this is what's happening. I just really don't think I can make it to the conference. I bought my ticket. Everything was, you know, in place. And they were so wonderful about it. They're like, you know what? You have to take care of yourself. Do what's best for you. We really wish you could come, but it's okay.
Yeah. Did you feel a relief when you got their response?
Oh my gosh. I felt such relief. I just like could take a deep breath again. And I think I probably took maybe a week and just did some light work, cleaned up my studio, kind of got back into the swing of things and, you know, reconnected with buyers and sent out my follow-ups, all the things that I had learned along the way that you do after trade shows. But then I had also signed up to exhibit at the Las Vegas show in
Las Vegas. Went to like back to, I remember you going, you did Las Vegas and didn't you do another one too?
No, I did Las Vegas at the Noted at Las Vegas market.
Okay.
Group along with a couple other people from labs. But when I was coming home, I got COVID. So I was really sick for like 10 days after that. So yeah, I probably, looking back, you know, like quote I had earlier, connecting the dots, I probably wouldn't have done Las Vegas looking back now. I think I just wanted to keep the momentum going from Noted. It wasn't a great show for me. I know other people had a great experience at Las Vegas market, but looking back, I probably wouldn't have done it again. I can't say I wish I wouldn't have done it because I made sales and I made some contacts and got to see friends again.
Also, your feelings about that show may also be spilling over from the fact that after Noted, that was a rough time. And you had to make some very tough choices about your teaching and at the conference. And
yeah.
So you were already just really run down by the time Las Vegas came along. So, Amy, I want to thank you for sharing so openly because I think there's, a couple of things. One, it's really hard to make these tough decisions and prioritize ourselves sometimes. I know that, you know, some people have a harder time doing that. I know I have a very hard time doing that. But there's only one of us in the world. And if we don't take care of us, then all the other things that rely on us, our business, our families, our friends, everything, you know, if we're not here, we can't do all those, the things we set out to do and create the connections that we want to create. So I'm proud of you for doing that. I also know that it's really difficult to say no to other people because you feel like you might be letting them down. And I'm glad that they responded in a way that provided you with relief and didn't make you feel worse or bad about your choices, you know, because that's never fun either. But I guess how I'd like to kind of pull this all together is just, I'm a big believer in things happen for a reason, even the hard things. And it sounds like, you know, that season for you between even before Noted all the way through Las Vegas had a lot of learning lessons for you in terms of how you want to take care of yourself and also how you want to run your business. How do you feel coming out of all that?
I feel, you know, after Las Vegas, I was sick and I took a break and I just kind of recalibrated myself and said, you know what, let's just get your systems in place. You know, I may have jumped ahead further than I maybe was ready for at the time, but now I'm kind of pausing. I'm going back and like rebuilding some parts of my website. I'm, you know, I'm looking at outreach strategies and I'm going back and building new product collections. I just want to really make sure that my message connects with the illustrations that I'm doing to bring that to people. I think coming out of the past couple of years, you know, just having friends to be there for me, leading up to Noted, I formed a study group with some people from the labs group. And actually, there's probably 8 of us that have kept going after Noted. So we meet twice a month as like a little mastermind.
That's awesome.
So just having each other to support each other, you know, keep going. I think it's hard when you're starting out and you don't, you know, you're building momentum and you don't have a lot of stores under your belt and, you know, retailers. You're just, it's, you want this thing that's out there, but you just have to keep putting in the work every day, you know. So take a break, you know, give yourself a break every now and then, but just keep, you know, you have to keep putting in the work and don't give up. You know, I feel like there's so many of us that are in the same position in our companies where we're growing and, you know, we're a year or two or three in, and it's like, if we just keep pushing, don't give up now, like we're gonna get to where we want to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's also a tipping point too, right? Of like, I've seen it time and time again with businesses where it's like, you continue to show up consistently, you continue to develop your product line, you continue to articulate the messaging that you want to portray in the world and the impact that you want to make. And it does create momentum that you can then ride. So yeah, for sure. I love what you said of, you know, keep moving forward and don't give up. That's great advice to everybody. You know, you mentioned your product line. I would love to hear, what products are you most excited about in 2023?
Ooh, 2023, I'm most excited about bringing some new embroidery kits to my collections. I launched a new product called Stash Buster, where, you know, the kit, you get just the basics, printed fabric, some instructions, but a lot of embroiderers, they have all the materials. They've got needles and threads and, you know, so the Stash Buster is basically to bust out your stash and use the colors that you have. I'm excited to bring more greeting cards to my collections. And like I said, to connect my message to my product, I'm doing a couple of trade shows next year. Noted is one of them. I'm trying a new trade show called H&H Americas. It's more craft-based.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a maker. I have a maker background, illustrating, crafting. So I think that will be super fun. So I'm excited to bring some new products to that show. I also have a new product I'm bringing to market for the holidays. I'm making spiral bound notebooks.
Ooh, tell me more about those.
They're spiral bound, 2 different sizes, and it's a place to dream and create. The interiors will have some inspirational messaging that come from my mission and vision and values. You know, things like we'll figure it out, start where you are, connect and build. And I'm using local sources, so my printers are local. The company that I get the spiral binding from is local. So I'm excited about those.
Oh, that sounds great. All right, Amy, we'll tell everyone where they can find you online if they want to check out your product line, if they want to connect with you on social media.
You can find me at www.kellerdesignco.com, on Instagram at Keller Design Co, Twitter, TikTok. It's all Keller Design Co.
Where do you hang out mostly?
I'm mostly on Instagram. I'm trying to get into TikTok a little bit more, making some videos and reels, but that'll come.
One step at a time, right, friend?
Yep.
Awesome. Amy, thank you for sharing your heart with us today and your story. You have really had an incredible career, and I just can't wait to see what you do with Keller as you continue to grow it.
Thanks, Katie. I'm looking forward to what the future brings.
I really appreciate Amy coming on the show today to share her story and also remind all of us that business is not a straight line. This discussion reminded me how much our past work experiences or even our general lived experiences play into the decisions that we make day to day, especially when we're creating our products or making decisions for our business. I appreciate Amy's candor in sharing that it takes time and consistency and really putting in the work to see success. And so as Amy said, I want to leave you with this. Don't give up. Thank you, Amy, for coming on the show. Now, before we sign off, I wanted to share a note from a different Amy. I received this from Amy Wilkins of Verity Press. Amy joined our Proof to Product Labs community as a founding member in 2020, and she's still active in the community today. Here's what she has to say about the program. She says, I am 100% glad that I joined Proof to Product Labs. As a PaperCamp alum, I knew the time spent with you would be worth every minute and every penny. Proof to Product Labs is perfectly organized and beneficial for any stage of business. It's fantastic to have so many elements converging in one place. Classes, coaching calls, podcasts, accountability groups, community conversations, and more. Labs is truly an incredible knowledge, strength, and support bundle. Thank you, Katie. Amy, thank you so much for your kind words. We are so happy to have you in our community. Listeners, if you are looking for a community specifically built for people making and selling physical goods, look no further. We have carved out a special place in the internet just for you. Our resources run deep and we lead from a place of generosity. If you would like the support of industry coaches and your peers, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more. We look forward to having you join us. All right, that's all I have for you today. Thank you for listening until the end. If you found today's episode insightful, please share it with a friend, and I will be back next week with a new episode.